This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
The Chinese Football Podcast, brought to you by Wild East Football.
Hello, and welcome to the Chinese Football Podcast, brought to you by Wild East Football. This week we have a special edition, and it's the start of what we hope is going to be a new feature series for the pod, where we go in-depth with some of your favourite panellists and contributors to learn a bit more about their personal journey through fandom and the wonderful world of Chinese football. And there's only one place that we could really start things off. It has to be a kind of getting up close and personal with the founding editor of Wild East Football, Mr. Cameron Wilson. Cam, how are you doing?
Hey, Steve. Thanks for the intro, very flattering. Looking forward to it. I've not really done this before, so it's going to be pretty interesting just to have this conversation.
Okay, so I think we need to start this story where it all started. What brought you to China in the first place, and how long did it take you to start getting into the football scene locally with some tentative first steps?
It's a long story. I don't know exactly how much time we want to spend on the intro part. An abridged version is, I graduated from university in 2000. And at that time, just like a lot of other young British people, a lot of people go to travel abroad just after university, or go and do a year, take a year out, whatever. A lot of people go to Australia, this kind of thing, or go to the States. And I just thought, I want to go somewhere different. I'd always thought about going to Japan because I had a friend who was teaching in Japan. No, he's working in Japan. Oh, we were always talking about it via email, the culture difference and all that. So naturally, after thinking about this for so long, I ended up in China. it was through like a program at my university to teach English. And that was 2000 to 2001. And during that time, I went down to Shanghai. I was living in Wuxi, in a little town called Jiangyin, which is, like yourself, Steve, it's in the kind of backyard of Shanghai. I know you spent your formative years there as well, right, in China?
I was just down the road, randomly, yeah, Zhangjiagang.
It's so random that these two towns are right next to each other. My background, for those who don't know, I'm a big Dundee Athletic fan. I'm from that part of Scotland. My dad took me there when I was a kid, and growing up in that part of Scotland, just football was very much part of the social fabric there, as it is in most parts of the UK. So I always had an interest in football. So, of course, one of the first things I wanted to do when I came to China was just check out local football. So I did that in 2001. And that's when I first watched a Shenhua game. It was June 2001. It was Shenhua beat Dalian Shida 1-0. I had no idea what to expect. But when I went to the game, the stadium, the fans, the atmosphere, the vibe, it kind of blew me away, actually. And I was just so impressed that there was this really vibrant kind of fan culture and football culture in general in China. So that was the start of the journey.
Yeah, as you say, I mean, I've written about this on the website, I think, at length as well. For me, it was love at first sight, kind of walking into that stadium as well. Was it kind of always Shenhua for you? And how long did it take you to really start getting into the fan culture and really starting to kind of follow the side and have a bit of an investment there?
Well, of course, it was a long time ago now. 18 years ago, which is just kind of scary as hell to say that, but that's how long it goes back. I think in the beginning, of course, it was just a casual interest. You just wanted to tick a box and go and see a game. Well, I say that, I was interested to watch regularly, but in my first year, I only managed to catch one game, and the season wasn't started. When I arrived in China, it would have been September, August 2000, and the season is kind of starting to wind up by then. By the time I found out about Chinese football and where to go and how to get there, the season was finished and I had to wait till the next season started. And of course, in that time, in the year 2000, yeah, the internet was existing and we were using it, but it wasn't anything like it. There was a website called Sinosoc, actually, which was dedicated to Chinese football, but didn't really have an awful lot of info about the nuts and bolts of how to get to a game. So it was actually took a bit to work that out. It's nowhere near as much information as there is now about just a simple ABC of how to go to a game. But in the beginning, basically, just wanted to check it out. But I went back to UK in 2001 in July. I worked as like a journalist down south for 3 years, and in that time I kind of kept in touch with Xinhua over the internet. So when I came back to China in 2005, first thing I did was go back and watch the Xinhua game, so it's kind of grown from there.
Well, following them from overseas in the early 2000s, I mean, we think that some of our listeners struggle now with the information out there. I mean, what were the biggest barriers to following the game? Was it a pure lack of information in English? Was there much even Chinese language information that was easily accessible back then?
I mean, at that time, my Chinese language skills were pretty much non-existent, and that's spoken as well as written. And at that time, even now in China, if you ask a Chinese person, how can I go and watch a CSL game? The chances are they won't know. They might have heard of the Xinhua team, they might have heard of the local CSL team, but they probably don't really know much about how to get there. And that's today. Imagine 18 years ago, it was just kind of asking people and basically finding out when the game was on and just literally going to the stadium and just trying to blag it, find a ticket on the street and then just get into the stadium. You just literally had to get out there yourself and find your own way in. And actually, there's still the best way to do it now.
Yeah, at least it's easier to find the stadiums with smartphone maps and all of the kind of modern conveniences that we have now. Obviously, you speak and write at length now, you know, not just with Wild East Football, but elsewhere as well, about, you know, issues affecting the game at large in China. And you've become, actually, over the years, less and less of a kind of Xinhua-focused journalist and someone who looks at the game in a much broader perspective in China. At what point did you start taking an interest in the broader CSL beyond kind of like just the club that you were following? Because I know for me, it took a few years to start knowing or caring or getting that bigger picture and stepping away from just the fan's eye view to trying to look at the game in a bigger context.
There's a lot of reasons for it. I think as my personal interest is very much in languages, people, society, different cultures, different beliefs people have. And I've always been interested in that. I mean, I remember at university, when I first went to university, the first people I gravitated towards were Americans because they were from a different country, but they had the common language. So it was really interesting just to chat to them because at that young age, I'd never really met anyone who wasn't from the UK. So I kind of always had that interest in internationalism and other cultures. So football was really a really good common language, a really good universal language to try to get contact with Chinese society as a whole, it wasn't just about going to a game. But of course, in the beginning, I was only like an observer. I couldn't really interact because I couldn't speak any Chinese, and it was difficult to really get any real contact or even get to know the fans. And this is a bit of a thing which is, it kind of, it's always been a bit of an issue for me that, yeah, I'm a fan of Xinhua and I don't hide that. But there's so much more to Chinese football than just supporting a club. For me, anyway, it's just such an amazing lens which allows you to see way beyond football and help you understand China as a place, how it works, why is it different, how is it different to Western culture. It leads you to discover things and differences which would be very difficult to find easily otherwise. And it's just I think the potential of being a Chinese football fan is, it just goes way, way beyond football itself. Never mind just being a fan of one club. So because of my natural interest, it's just kind of led me to start seeing all these patterns and making my own observations about how China actually worked and why football was the way it was. And it just allowed you to understand China because you had this thing which you understood in your own country. Everyone knows what football is in the UK. It enabled you to make some comparisons easily, which otherwise would have been pretty much impossible.
Yeah, I want to follow up on that, actually. It's a really good point about, and I think it goes both ways, you know, football is a great lens through which to view the country and the culture that you're looking at. And at the same time, and this is a point you often make when we're talking about the failings of the national team and various controversies in the league, there are many things in Chinese football that can only be explained by looking at it in the Chinese kind of, you know, social, cultural, political context. And I know we laugh a lot about some of the ridiculous transfer rumours overseas, but there's a lot of kind of big misconceptions and misunderstandings that you see come up, you know, time and time again, often from people outside of the country, actually, who maybe don't know better, or for people who've been to the country and should know better. Are there any of those that really stand out to you as the most annoying or frustrating misconceptions about Chinese football that you really just wish people would put right?
There are some misconceptions people have, which I kind of felt a little bit frustrated about. I mean, the context in which to look at this is the context of Chinese football blowing up internationally over the last 3-4 years. Because before that, it was really, there was scant attention paid to it from anywhere except the Chinese media, basically. And it would occasionally appear in international media if there was something wrong, if there'd been a scandal or something like that. So when this interest first started, suddenly you went from having only Wildies football was literally the only place on the internet in English where you could find anything about Chinese football. Maybe a few other pieces here and there, but basically this was the only central place for news. To suddenly there was Twitter accounts, there was websites, there was blogs, all the international media started writing about it. So for me, it was kind of frustrating in a way. But at the same time, you don't want to be the kind of, I don't know, like the kind of know-all kind of, do you know what I mean? How would you describe that?
It's like you don't want to be precious about it. You don't want to be like this ivory tower expert, like looking down your nose at these outsiders. And you do see a lot of that from people who kind of like call themselves, you know, seasoned China watchers and whatnot. And, you know, obviously everyone's allowed an opinion and everyone's allowed an insight, but we want to try and help educate them ultimately.
I always try to avoid calling myself, I don't even like to call myself a China watcher or an expert, because partly it's my personality. I don't really like to talk myself up that much, although sometimes I'm kind of forced to, because if I don't, then someone who doesn't know anything is going to say stuff about Chinese football instead, and that doesn't really serve any good. At first, I was frustrated in some ways. There was all these misconceptions. Like, the biggest one is just the misconception anybody has who's from a Western country, or more to the point, from a country with a footballing tradition or a football country comes to China. You just don't realise how different it is. You think that China's got like a whole football pyramid, or there's teams everywhere and there's people play football that is taken seriously, but it's just not. There's just hardly anything here. Even today, the football infrastructure, the football structure in China is very limited. You know, you've got the CSL, which is a roughly functioning professional football league. You get to CSL1, it's like, yeah, it's professional, but there's so many issues. CL2, you start to get to the level of CSL2 is basically like even lower than the Conference in England, or like Scottish Division, like League 2, or even lower than that in Scotland. So you just don't have the same infrastructure. You don't have the clubs. You don't have, every village doesn't have a team. You meet a random Chinese person, they probably don't even know about football. Well, they might do, but chances are they only have a very basic idea of it. So you just can't bring any assumptions at all. And in the beginning, when all the interest from overseas blew up, I was kind of like, oh, come on, guys. But then I realised that they were just going through the same process I'd been through. They were just coming at it, looking at it from their perspective. And they didn't have the experience that I had of, like, even like 15 years of just seeing that football was just still very much in its infancy in China. And so in that way, after a while, I became more understanding of it. And I just thought, well, our job should be to help people understand it. Not behind me, and not like, yeah, we're the experts. How dare you, Johnny Come Lately's come and bust in on our little Chinese football niche. And I think it's great that there's all this coverage, even if not all of it is excellent, it's better than what was going before, which was, there was no attention at all. So in a way, it's a good thing.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting point, actually. And you get people on both extremes for me, where they just don't appreciate that it's a niche sport in a huge country. So there are still, you know, tens, hundreds of thousands of people who play, there are millions of fans, but it's absolutely not the number one sport. It's also not as if China just discovered football 5 or 10 years ago and is magically on an upwards trajectory. There is, you know, there've been clubs, professional clubs, through since, what, the 50s, I guess we could say, that there've been organised leagues of some kind. I know there's a lot more on the site about the history of the game. So it's not as if it's something that's been flicked on overnight. It's also not something that's as deep-rooted as you say. I mean, in addition to the crazy transfer rumours, one of the misconceptions, and maybe it's because it's one that's peddled a bit by the government, that really gets me is this idea that there's this inevitable path towards China being a footballing superpower, because we see time and again there's a lot of factors that are stopping them from doing that, no matter how much money, no matter how many football schools you set up. I mean, what do you think a realistic target is, even? We've spoken about the frustrations that China's had and the road bumps they've hit along the way. Where do you think they should be targeting, and do you reckon they'll get there?
I don't think China's going in the right direction. And I just feel that the very fundamental things are not being taken care of. The foundation of football is culture. And this is another thing I learned. One of the personal benefits I've learned from my time in China is you take your own country for granted. There's so many things about your own country which you don't appreciate simply because it was always there. It's like your parents. You take them for granted because they're always there. There for you when you needed them. And it's the same with football in the UK. It's always there when you need it. If you want to go and watch like an amateur league game, it's just around the corner. If you want to go and watch a league game, it's in the town along the road. If you want to go and watch Premiership, you can take a train to another city. If you want to watch, if you want to get good football commentary, you can read the paper or you can read a website. It's there. It's everywhere. But you come to China, it's not there. There's the whole football ecosystem is severely underdeveloped, and it's because there is not a widespread culture here. There's a simple way to explain it is in the UK or any football country, not everybody likes football, and some people even hate it. But even the people who hate it, they know what it is. They would be able to have a conversation about football if they really had to, and they could blag it. And because it's everywhere, the power of football flows to every level of society, and everyone can either join in or not join in. But the problem is in China, people who want to join in, a lot of time they just can't because the football just doesn't exist in their community.
Yeah, I think that's a powerful point, actually. And we speak a lot about how kind of centralised football is in lots of the kind of major metropolises and along the East Coast. I mean, yeah, we've spoken about the direction that the game's going in as well. I think maybe taking a step back and going back about your own kind of personal journey, you know, in Shanghai. You mentioned how you became a fan of Shenhua. You're attending the games regularly. What was the metamorphosis or process like, I suppose, between going, you know, regularly to games and then getting in with the Lanmore? And for those who don't, well, maybe you can just introduce for those who don't know what the Lanmore are and the kind of role that you've taken on within the community over the years.
Steve, I think it's better if you explain what this is because I just feel I don't know. I just don't know how to say it. It's I don't know how to explain it. It's quite a. I find myself in a reluctant. I don't even know how to describe my role. It's, I don't know.
I think I would have to describe you as one of the elder statesmen of the Lanmore and the leader of an interesting splinter group within this kind of broader fan community.
Yeah. Yeah, for those who don't know, the Lanmore means Blue Devil in Chinese. They are one of the oldest fan groups in China and I think definitely the most influential. And they're well respected through most of the rest of Chinese football fan culture.
And the most political group of people that I've ever met in my life.
Yeah, that's another thing you learn about China is how there's so many cliques and even within one organisation there's so many different factions. It's very clannish, and it's a good illustration of human nature at work. It's kind of like, It's the same everywhere. China in general is, there's nothing about China which is really that unique to China, I don't think. I just think it's just got certain characteristics which it's very particular in. Like they always say, like Guanxi, like connection, oh, it's really important to China. So it's important everywhere, but in China it's really important, and that's the thing. So getting back to the point where the Blue Devils, this is the thing I realised that being a foreign fan, my initial reason to go and watch Shenhua was, apart from to check out football, was just to try and do something local. Like I wanted to go and watch a game where other people from the same city I lived in, I wanted to just kind of just be one of them for like a night, for an afternoon or an evening, and I wanted to get close to them and have a meaningful relationship. I didn't want to be a foreigner who just didn't really ever hang out with local people and just went to the pub and watched Premiership every weekend. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but it's a missed opportunity if you don't take the chance to engage with a country like China, which has got such depth and culture, and there's just so much you can learn.
So how did it start? You know, you're going to the games as one of the few, you know, foreigners to be seen on the terraces at the time. Do you approach the ultras to kind of get into the stand behind the goal? Do they kind of reach out to you to kind of boost their own street cred?
I went to the Shanghai Derby in 2005. It was Shenhua versus then Shanghai International. It was September 2005, and I actually bumped into Frank Ding, who's very well known. He's actually got a really high profile in the Chinese football world as a spokesperson for Blue Devils. He speaks pretty decent English, so we got chatting to him and he invited us along. I got to know him. Then the following season, I bought a season ticket and that got me in the North Terrace in 2006. So it just kind of grew from there. And of course, in the beginning, you get excited at the game, but it takes a while, like anything, to develop an emotional connection. And in the beginning, you kind of think, oh, but I'm a Dunfermline fan, how can I care for another team? But of course, they're already support Scotland as well. So a third team in a country which is miles away from Scotland, and this Dunfermline and Shenhua would never ever play each other in any competitive fixture, unless in a one in a million chance they'd somehow meet in the World Club Cup, when the chances of that are next to zero. And yeah, the connection develops over the years. Also through being with the fans, you learn about local culture, you learn about their identity. And the Shanghainese have a very strong identity, and the Shenhua fans are a very visible manifestation of that identity, and I really respect that. I think that is very much the crux of any kind of football club, is that they represent the identity, and they're like the face, that they're a public manifestation of the personality of the city they're from, and that's something which I think drives football culture at its heart.
Yeah, and I want to follow up just on, you mentioned that it's the way to integrate, and they're very kind of proud of their heritage and representative of the local community. I mean, one of the great things I found about, you know, entering this world was you go over and yeah, you can learn the language, but as an expat, whether you're working in language teaching or in kind of an office job like lots of us end up in as well, the range of people that you're meeting is generally educated, middle-class locals who speak pretty decent English or want to kind of internationalise themselves. And suddenly through kind of going to the football and joining a fan group, you're meeting people from every different kind of strata of society. I just wonder if you could expand on that and then kind of share some of the great characters that you've kind of met on the terrace over the years and what they say about both, you know, Shanghai and also kind of Chinese football in general.
It's a good point. You do meet people from all walks of life. I mean, football is a great kind of leveler everywhere, in China just as much as anywhere else. I mean, I've met guys on the terrace, Chinese guys who are like, guys, a diamond trader. There's a guy who's like a baggage handler at Pudong Airport, a guy who was like a melon farmer. Then you've got your typical kind of office worker guys, bus driver, salesman. Then there's guys who are well connected with their dads, like political connections in Shanghai, stuff like that. Overall, I would just describe entering the Shenhua fandom, it's really going down the rabbit hole, and I've completely got lost quite some time ago. I'm still having such a fantastically amazing and just endlessly revealing adventure.
Is there a specific moment where you kind of realised how far you'd gone, you know, down the rabbit hole, where you just kind of like blink for a moment, you're like, wow, how did I end up here?
Yeah. It was a few years ago when the leaders of the Lamo, a lot of this stuff I kind of, a lot of these details I'm not sure whether to reveal or not. But basically they let it be known to me how much they appreciated that I was a fan, and they could see that I was genuinely into it and I wasn't involved in the Lamo for personal gain. And of course, I take that for granted. I would never think anyone would get involved in Chinese football in this way, to be a fan of a club for self-aggrandizement. But from a Chinese perspective, people are always, in China, people tend not to do things unless they've got an obvious benefit to themselves for doing it. Or at least that's not everybody, but that's very, very common situation. Whereas in the UK, if someone's a football fan, they're just a football fan. And no one thinks that there's a football fan for any other reason other than a club. But in China, it's like, well, maybe they're trying to make nice with someone who's inside the club, or someone who's a fan leader who's got some connection outside of work they want to use. It's just a complicated world. But anyway, and actually they asked me to be the Linghan. They asked me to be the capo for the North Terrace, for one wing in the North Terrace. And it was such a fantastic honour. And I just thought to myself, oh shit, I'm really in now. I'm seen as an absolute insider. And that was a really rewarding moment. And it's kind of like, you know, you go to a strange land and the natives ask you to be one of them. It was, I think of all the things in my life that I've achieved, that's one of the things I'm most proud of. And it's something I've never really talked about that much, or it's not something you'd put on your CV or mention in a job interview. And a lot of people wouldn't really think it was anything special or anything impressive. But to me personally, I think it was a gesture of great meaning. And something really profound to me personally, and I just feel really proud of that. And at that moment, I was like, yeah, I'm really part of it. But I actually turned it down because to be the Linghan is actually a really exhausting job, and I think it's more,
you don't get to see the game.
You don't get to see the game, and I just felt it was maybe something which was more suited to a slightly younger guy. I politely declined. Maybe I should have actually taken it up, but there you go.
No, I think that's a great story, though. And as you say, I mean, it's not really something you put on your resume, but it's such a great and specific example of like true integration. And I think football could be such a great vehicle to that. And it's such a great way to kind of learn about the fans and the city and the culture that you're now a part of. I think we can draw a line under part one of what is going to be a two-parter here, largely because we need to check with our lawyers and some senior Landmore figures exactly how much detail we're allowed to go into in some juicy stories in the second half of the interview. But wow, thanks for opening up. It's been a very different focus to the pod, but I've really enjoyed kind of hearing some of these stories in more detail than even I've spoken about them with you over the years.
Yeah, once you get started talking about stuff, there's more stuff springs to mind which you normally wouldn't really think of, but you know, conversation would be quite stimulating that way. I mean, we've literally scratched the surface. There's so much more to say. I'm hoping that anyone out there listening, if they've got some questions, they'd fire them at us. And I've got my own story, and to me, I know the details, but I think the people out there must have, I think for guys interested in Chinese football and like especially the kind of being involved in it more closely, I imagine there's a lot of things they'd like to know. So ask me anything.
Fantastic. Well, listeners, the ball is very much in your court. We're going to leave you hanging for a little bit. Do fire those questions in, and we will be returning to this interview with Cam later on in the year and setting up a few chats with other well-known contributors from the world of Wildies football and Chinese football as in general as well. But for this week, that's all of the stories that you're getting. Thanks, as ever, for joining us and listening. And I've been your regular host, Steve Crooks.
The Chinese Football Podcast, brought to you by Wild East Football.
全场比赛结束了，我们终于出现了。